Heavenly Father, according to the book of Lamentations, the blessings of the Lord are new every morning, and great is your faithfulness. Father, I know that there are many people listening right now that are under attack, spiritual attack. They're experiencing depression and oppression. Their life feels and seems to be out of control. But we know, Lord, that when we focus on Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith, then He will complete the good work that He began in us, because You promise in Philippians 1:6, "My God, the one who began this work in me, will complete it until the day of Christ Jesus." And so, Lord, we just thank You that we have Your promise that You're not going to leave us, You're not going to forsake us. You started a good work in us, You're going to finish that work. And from the time You begin until the time that You complete it, we are in Your hands, and You are faithful to take care of us. Thank You, Lord, that our names are written in the book of life, that we are children of the Most High God, that we're part of the family of God, and because of that, Lord, we have great peace in our hearts, and Your love has been shed abroad in our hearts, not only to give us comfort, but to share with others and comfort them as well. So today, Lord, I pray this word would be an encouragement to everyone that hears it, and that, Lord, everyone who may have a need in their life right now would understand, realize, and experience Your miraculous provision by simply acknowledging their faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. New every morning, the book of Lamentations, chapter 3. I'm going to begin reading in verse 19. I'm reading from the New International Version, and the prophet says, "I remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall. I well remember them. My soul is downcast within me. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is Your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for Him. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in Him, to those who seek Him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord." I understand in his context that this passage of Scripture, that the nation of Israel, and especially Judah, we're having a very difficult time, and during the ministry of Jeremiah the prophet, he had to prophesy God's judgment upon his own people. How many of you know that judgment comes? Amen? Amen. And we need to understand that judgment day is on the way. God will judge his people. But for those of you listening to me right now, the wonderful thing is you have the opportunity to allow Jesus Christ to accept whatever judgments God may have against you. You know, when we sin, when we make mistakes, when we fail, when we fall, we can cast those sins and those mistakes and those cares on the Lord, and He'll take care of us. I want you to understand that God is not against you. God is for you. God wants you to succeed. God desires for you to overcome. God desires for you to be victorious in every area of your life. And what you need to do is just to align your faith with what He promises in His Word. Believe what He says. Confess what He says. And then God will indeed bring it to pass in your life. But I understand that we live in a very difficult time. And there are many, many, many temptations in this life, and there are many tragedies going on. And Jeremiah says here, "I remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall." Well, to that I say that if we apply this to our lives, there's probably not one of us listening right now that can't say that we haven't experienced some kind of traumatic event in our life. Amen? Every one of us have gone through some kind of a sickness or a disease. Maybe we've experienced a death of a loved one in our family. Maybe we've had financial hardships. Maybe we've experienced divorce or separation or whatever. The list goes on and on and on of things that could cause us to be bitter, to have our soul just twisted up and knotted up, and we can't sleep, and it just seems like we have no peace. That is a reality that all of us experience at one time or another in our lives. I'm not saying that we are exempt from it. I'm saying that God tells us in His Word how to deal with those things. Amen? So that they don't destroy us. The prophet said, I remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall. I well remember them, and my soul is downcast within me. That's the thing we need to be aware of, that if we dwell on the difficult times in life, we are likely to live in a continued state of depression. If all we ever think about is the hard times, the difficult times, and it's such, isn't it such a temptation to have a big pity party? Isn't it? We want to invite everybody to come, right? And listen to our hardships. Really, honestly, every one of us are that way to some extent. When we're going through a difficult time, we just want people to know we're hurting. We just want people to know that, you know, I don't feel good. I don't deserve this. This isn't fair. Well, life isn't fair, but God is fair. I want you to understand that. And God will rescue you if you'll give Him the opportunity. He will redeem you from all of your problems. That's His desire. And what's sad is that oftentimes the hardships, the afflictions, the difficulties that we go through in our life, sometimes they may be self-inflicted, but other times they're inflicted upon us by other people we have no control over. Amen? But yet we still have to suffer through those situations. But God is just, and God is fair, and God desires to deliver you from all of these things. And so the psalmist doesn't stop there when he says, I well remember them. My soul is downcast within me. He says in verse 21, yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. So what he's saying is there is an alternative that offers us hope in life. Amen? And that alternative is to dwell on the love of God instead of dwelling on our trying circumstances. Now, as you think about that for a moment, if you dwell on something long enough, then whatever it is you're dwelling on will literally consume you. And if you're just thinking about problems all the time, those problems will just consume you with grief and bitterness and anger and depression. But if you dwell on God's love and God's goodness and God's mercy, just think about this, you will eventually be consumed with that. And it will transform you. It will change you. There's a scripture that alludes to the fact, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Amen? And so whatever you dwell on, whatever you think about, whatever you're talking about, that's what you're going to become. Amen? So you need to think about that. You need to dwell on that. He said, I call to mind. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. And what is it that he's calling to mind? Verse 22. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for His compassions never fail. He said, this is what I'm calling to mind. I'm choosing not to allow the grief and the bitterness and the depression to consume me. I'm choosing to think about the compassion of the Lord, because His compassion never fails. The Lord's great love is what it says here in the New International Version, but the New American Standard Version uses the word loving kindnesses. Loving kindnesses, okay? So, because of the Lord's loving kindnesses, we are not consumed. We're not consumed with bitterness and grief and anger and depression. We're not. And it's all because of His great love or His loving kindnesses. Now, the Hebrew meaning of that term or that phrase, the Lord's great love or loving kindness, can literally be translated like this: love, grace, mercy, goodness, forgiveness, truth, compassion, and faithfulness. See, it's plural. Notice he says, because of the Lord's great love, or the Lord's loving kindnesses. And those loving kindnesses includes God's love, God's mercy, God's grace, God's goodness, God's forgiveness, God's truth, God's compassion, and his faithfulness. All of these encompass God's genuine, gracious love for all of his children. God is extending that to every single one of you that is a child of God. And his love can keep us from being consumed with depression. His compassions will never fail us. Amen? It says right here, his compassions never fail. Verse 23, they are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Remember the great church hymn, "Great is your faithfulness, Lord God Almighty." You know, the person who wrote that song experienced that God is faithful in the midst of terrible tragedy. God's compassions are new every morning, and this simply means that God's grace is sufficient for you every single day of your life. Every day when you wake up in the morning, you've got a choice. You can dwell on the difficult things that you're going through, or you can dwell on the loving kindness of God. You can dwell on the mercy of God. You can dwell on the love of God. And his compassions are new every morning. That means every single day of your life, you are promised by God that his grace is going to be sufficient for you that day, to get you through that day, and not only to get you through it, but to get you through it victoriously and successfully. That's God's promise to you. Now again, you can either walk by faith in what God says, or you can walk by what you see and what you feel and what you think and what other people tell you. And if what that information is coming to you, if it's negative, it will bring you down every time. Amen? Now, you know, I've been through enough of life experiences myself to understand that sometimes, listen carefully, because I believe you can relate to this, there are some times when this is kind of a sordid thought, but sometimes we enjoy wallowing around in self-pity and depression. We say, oh no, I wouldn't. Yeah, yes, we do. How do I know we do? I know we do because that seems to be what we want to talk about all the time. That's it, our favorite subject. Do you know what she did to me? Do you know how she treated me? Do you know what those people said about me? Do you know what I'm going through? No, I don't, but I have a feeling you're about to tell me. Amen? And there's some kind of a morbid enjoyment we get out of this, but it doesn't do us any good. But I understand what it is. It is a cry for help inside of us. We're saying, somebody please do something. I'm hurting. I'm falling apart here. Can somebody help me? Well, the answer is yes. And that person is Jesus. Jesus can help you. If you'll just begin to dwell on him, if you'll begin to look unto him as the author and the finisher of your faith, if you'll begin to realize he's promised he will not leave you, he will not forsake you, he's with you always, even till the end of the age, and that is an ironclad promise. It's as good as gold. You can take it to the bank. Amen. He's with you. He's for you. He's not against you, and he wants you to succeed. Now you have to begin to understand that, and the devil will do everything in his power to bring you down. But thank God, if God is for you, no one can be against you. No one can overcome you. You can put yourself in God's protective custody and God's care, and he's going to take care of you. He's going to provide for you. He's going to be there for you. And I mean that for every single one of you. We all have our individual crises in life. We all have our challenges in life. But the one thing is, even though we are all different, God is the same. God is the same for every single one of us. He doesn't have favorites. You understand that? I mean, some of you maybe have several children and you say, well, I don't really have favorite children, but some of them please me a little more than the others do. The thing of it is, God loves every one of us the same. And if you look at God and you say, well, it seems like God is treating that one better. No, it's not that God's treating that one better. It's this. Listen very carefully. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must first of all believe that God is, and that God is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. The ones that get rewarded are the ones that choose to diligently seek Him with all their hearts. Now, it may appear that they're favored children. It's not that they're favored. It's just that they have come to the place of understanding that God will give them all the attention they need if they will give Him their attention. Amen? Amen? That's what it is. You need to start to focus on the Lord instead of focusing on your problems. Stop talking about your problems and start talking about the goodness of God, the greatness of God. Say, how do I do that? Well, just change the way you speak. Instead of speaking negatively about it, start talking positively about how God's going to get you through this, how God's going to succeed. You can say, you know what? They're talking about foreclosing on me, but I know my God will supply all my needs through His riches and glory, Christ Jesus. I know that I've given unto the Lord, therefore He's going to give unto me. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. I know that God's going to cause everything to work together for my good because He loves me and He's called me according to His purposes. I know God has started a good work in me and I know He's going to finish it because He told me so in His word and it's impossible for Him to lie. Amen? And that's the way you've got to begin to see life. And you've got to do it every day. God's blessings are new every single morning. Again, verse 23, they are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. This means that God's grace is sufficient for us every day in our life. And great is your faithfulness here literally speaks of covenant relationship. And understand, we are in covenant relationship with God. God's already made up His mind how He feels about you. God's already made up His mind how He's going to respond to you. And Malachi chapter 3, verse 6 says, I am the Lord, I change not. Now we change and we can change our mind, but God in His written word has already determined how He's going to respond to you. He's going to respond to you in love. Amen? He's going to love you. He's going to take care of you if you will allow Him to. And the secret is, you've got to start focusing on Him. You've got to start dwelling on Him. You've got to start talking about Him. You've got to start magnifying the Lord. David said, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Come and let us rejoice in Him together. Praise the Lord. Now, verse 24 says, I say to myself. Now, you may wonder, why did we read that confession on the back of the bulletin this morning? It's because if we don't do it together, if we don't choose to do it together, chances are you won't do it alone. You won't do it on your own. And so what we're trying to do is to help you. It's like giving you a jump start here to begin to talk to yourself. I know when I was a little kid, people used to say only crazy people talk to themselves. But I found out it's really everybody talks to themselves. It's only the crazy people that answer themselves. But no, we do need to talk to ourselves and encourage ourselves. That's what David did in the psalm when he was saying, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. What was he doing? He was talking to himself. He was reminding himself of the goodness of God. And that's what you and I need to do. We need to talk to ourselves. We need to remind ourselves of who we are and who our God is. Amen? Amen. And that He's greater than any problem that we encounter. And so the prophet said, I say to myself, and this is what he says to himself, I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. I want you to look at somebody and tell them right now. Say, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for Him. Amen. Amen. The Lord is my portion. You need to say it to yourself. The reason that we want to confess God's promises in our life daily is because unlike any other written word, any other book, God's word is exactly that. It's God's word. It's not the word of man, it's the word of God. And Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 12 says that God watches over his word to bring it to pass. And so if you have God's word in your heart and you confess it with your mouth, God himself will watch over that word to bring it to pass in your life. And that's why we need to say to ourselves what God says about us. Amen? Because the world, the flesh, the devil, all of these entities are enforced against you. They don't want you to succeed. They don't want you to overcome. They want you to fail. The enemy, the thief, the devil, he's come to kill, to steal, and to destroy. Only Jesus has come to give you life and to give it to you more abundantly. And so as we begin to confess God's word, the prophet here says, I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for him. Well, the Lord is my portion basically is a confession. I guess you could use what Paul said in the Philippian letter, Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all of my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. That's a confession we make. When we begin to see and experience lack in our life, I mean, look at what's going on in the world right now. You know, some of you have maybe worked at the same job for a long time, and maybe the job you're working at, you've had the same pay for quite some time, but yet the cost of living continues to go up. That means that you have the same income, but you have a greater outflow. And so it's getting out of proportion here. And you're going, wait a minute, something's not right here. I've got too much month left at the end of my money, you know, and what am I going to do? Well, what you're going to do is to begin to confess, the Lord is my portion. You're going to begin to confess, my God supplies all my needs through his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Because I honor God, God will honor me. Because I give, it will be given unto me. And you realize that when things get difficult and tight, that's not a time to hoard and to hide and to pull back. It's time to be bold and confident and say, okay, Lord, I'm sowing my seed and I'm believing you for a miracle harvest. And God will honor that. Because without faith, it's impossible to please him. But faith pleases God. And what is faith but acting on his promise? Amen. It's doing, being a doer of the word and not just a hearer only. I like what the psalmist said in Psalm 119, when we're talking about the Lord is my portion and therefore I'll wait for him. Psalm 119, verse 57, the psalmist said, you are my portion, O Lord. I have promised to obey your words. I have sought your face with all my heart. Be gracious to me. According to your promise, I have considered my ways and I've turned my steps to your statutes. I will hasten and not delay to obey your commands. Though the wicked bind me with ropes, I will not forget your law. At midnight, I rise to give you thanks for your righteous laws. I am a friend to all who fear you, to all who follow your precepts. The earth is filled with your love, O Lord. Teach me your decrees. Here the psalmist is a man definitely after God's own heart, because he's simply saying, no matter what the enemy might try to do to me, I have made up my mind. I am determined that you are my source. You are my portion. I can trust in your goodness. I can trust in your love. And I'm going to make the sacrifice. If I have to, I'm going to get up at midnight and sing praise to you. Now you think about that the next time you're laying in bed and you can't sleep and you're worrying about what's going on in your life right now and you're tossing and you're turning and you're wondering, how am I going to work out this relationship? How am I going to pay this bill? How am I going to do this? You know what? The time and the energy that you put into worrying and being frustrated over, you could be putting that same time and energy into praising God and thanking him for the answer, and then you'd have a better outcome and a better result. Do you realize that? So it's up to you. If you're laying awake at night, you might as well put that time to good use and just decide to praise God and thank God. If you need to, slide out of your bed, drop down on your knees, lift your hands, and begin to just thank God that he's your heavenly Father. Thank him that he's promised that he'll never fail you and he'll never forsake you. Just pour your heart out to him and just love him with all of your heart. And I'll tell you what, Whenever you praise God, He shows up. He really does. His presence will be there for you. He'll manifest Himself to you. He says, again, I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for Him. I will wait for Him. The prophet Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31, gives a promise to every one of us, and it's this. He says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And there's a couple of different ways of looking at this. When he says, I will wait on the Lord, or they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. I think our first inclination of waiting is something similar to this, as we just kind of sit down, become immobile and wait. All right, God, I'm here. Bless me if you can. I'm waiting. Come on, God, do it. Can you bless me today, God? I'm waiting. And, I mean, that's one way of waiting, but if you leave here today and you decide to go out to have lunch after church and you go to a restaurant, chances are you will have a waiter or a waitress. And what are they doing? They're waiting on you. What does it mean that they're waiting on you? It means they are ministering to you. They're taking care of you. They come to you and they say, what would you like to drink? What would you like to eat? What can I get for you? I'm going to write it down. I'm going to go back to the kitchen. I'm going to bring it out here and I'm going to serve you. So really, to wait on the Lord can also mean to serve God. We put our hope in God, and while we're hoping in God, we're also waiting on Him. We're taking care of Him. In other words, we're doing what He's asked us to do. We are ministering to other people. We are preaching the Word. We are laying hands on the sick. We're casting out demons. We're taking the good news to everybody we have an opportunity. So waiting on the Lord doesn't mean just to sit down and say, bless me if you can. It means that we're focusing on the Lord, and at the same time, we're ministering unto the Lord and ministering unto one another. And while we're doing that, God will see to it that our needs are going to be met. Amen? So how many of you are going to wait on the Lord? Amen? As we wait upon the Lord, we will indeed renew our strength. We'll mount up with wings like eagles. We'll run and not be weary. We'll walk and not faint. And then in verse 25, it says, the Lord is good to those whose hope is in Him, to the one who seeks Him. Now, God is good to those who seek Him. I could quote this, but I want to read it because I don't want to miss anything. It's in Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, where Jesus said, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened unto you, for everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be open. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will he give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask Him? If we, in our fallen nature, in our evil, selfish nature, if we know how to be good to our own children, amen? How much more will our Heavenly Father, who is perfect, give good things to His children if we just ask Him? Now, if your children, your natural children, those of you who are parents, if your children come to you and humbly and thankfully ask for your assistance or help in something, if it's within your power to do it, you would, wouldn't you? But you know what? I find that it's so much easier for me to be nice to and to do good things for my children when I understand that they appreciate me and that they just don't take me for granted and expect it, or don't say thank you, or it's just like, it's my obligation. I still love them and I'll still do for them, but I feel much better about it when I know they appreciate what I'm doing for them. And I believe our Heavenly Father feels the same way. God loves us and He's made a promise and a covenant commitment that He's going to meet our needs. But it's so much better when we come to Him and humble ourselves and praise Him and thank Him, and then He gives us the miracle that we need. Now, I know every one of you listening to me here today, there's probably an area of need in your life. There's something that you're going through. Maybe you've been struggling with depression. Maybe the enemy's been hitting you hard. Maybe you're going through the most trying time in your life right now. Well, I believe God is saying to you today that His blessings are new every morning, and that today, this day is the day the Lord has made, and you can rejoice and be glad in it, but tomorrow morning is a brand new day, and God's blessings are going to be there for you tomorrow morning as well. He's not going to fail you. He's not going to forsake you. He's not going to leave you. He's going to be there with you to help you, because His love for you is everlasting. Finally, the 26th verse, the prophet says, "It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord." It is good to wait for God's salvation, or another term here would be for God's deliverance. It's good to wait for His deliverance. God has a timing for everything, but He will never be too late. Isaiah 41:10 is a promise God gave to Israel, but it's also a covenant promise to every believer. He says, "Fear not." Would you look at somebody and say, "Fear not"? You see, remember I've told you before the word fear, you can break it down. The acronym for fear, F-E-A-R, is false evidence appearing real. That's what the devil does. He takes false evidence, makes it look real, and then he paralyzes us with fear. But the scripture says God hasn't given us the spirit of fear. He's given us power, love, and a sound mind. So the prophet Isaiah 41:10 says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, I am your God. I will strengthen you, I will help you, and I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness." Now, that's a promise to every one of you listening to me right now. And I want you to be encouraged by the fact that you don't have to be afraid. God is going to strengthen you, He's going to help you, and He's going to uphold you. In Psalm 32, the psalmist also writes in verse 7, "You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance." Amen? So let God be your hiding place. Let Jesus be your hiding place. Run to Him. Hide in Him. Weather out the storms of your life in Him. And you'll come to a place of knowing that God's blessings are fresh and new every morning, and you can depend upon His faithfulness. I want you to bow your heads with me right now for just a moment. And those of you maybe are listening to this on the World Wide Web, or if you're listening to a CD, or you're here in this congregation this morning, I want you just to take a moment with your heads bowed and your eyes closed. And I want you to think about where you're at in your walk with the Lord right now, where you're at in your life right now as far as your relationship with your family, with your friends, with your co-workers, with the people that you interact with every day. And realize that no matter what it is you're going through right now, it can be better if you focus on Jesus. It can be better if you look to Him as the author and finisher of your faith. It can be better if you'll understand and realize that His blessings are fresh and new every morning, and God is faithful, and He really desires to take care of you and look after you. So right now, I want every one of you to pray this prayer out loud with me and open your heart to God's goodness and His faithfulness and His love. And remember that this is a love that is eternal, and it is fresh and it's new every single day. So by the time you finish this day, you go home and you lay your head down on your pillow and you go to sleep. When you get up tomorrow morning, God's love is going to be fresh. It's going to be new. And every promise that He ever gave is there for you. You just have to focus on Him. Amen. So pray this prayer with me out loud. Say this: Father God, I am so grateful that you have revealed to me through your word your great love for me. I admit that there are times in my life where I feel unloved, unwelcome, unwanted, unappreciated, but I know you do not make me feel that way. I understand the devil and people can hurt me, but you can only love me. And I come to you now and I ask you to heal my wounded heart. Heal me of those things that are attacking me. I cast all my cares on you right now, and I believe that you will take care of me. According to your word, your blessings are fresh and new every morning. So from this day forward, like the psalmist, I will choose to praise you, to worship you, to honor you, to seek you with all of my heart. And I know that you will not forsake me. I know you have begun a good work in me, and you will finish what you started. Thank you for doing it because you love me. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. All right, let's give him a shout of praise and a hand clap this morning. God is good and he's faithful.